Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. You'll find now at your leisure or at your recollection that the words of this particular text from the King James Version, I'm going to read first, if you don't mind, and then we'll lift up the ESV. It says, When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. That same passage from the ESV, the English Standard Version, says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And this is God talking. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals, to the false gods, and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was God, who taught Ephraim to walk. He says, I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them, and I fed them. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, we want to talk to you this afternoon, about a love connection. A love connection. Brothers and sisters, one thing that we have to understand whenever we are dealing with the book of Hosea is one of those books that's about broken relationships. Hosea is the prophet who had to deal with an unfaithful bride that no matter what she did, no matter where she went, no matter who she was with, God was showing this prophet, was showing that I have the kind of love for you that no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you have been with, no matter what you've done, I'm always extending my arms, my hand of reconciliation and of love with open arms for you to come back to where you belong. And so because this concept of love and relationship is so intertwined and so connected, if you will, no pun intended, that's why we're talking about a love connection, because love, in every sense of the word, is going to involve some type of connection, some kind of bond, whether it be superficial or whether it be deeply rooted, there is a love connection. And so, brothers and sisters, here's the problem and the premise that we face. It's common to really to all of us, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we have ever thought about it seriously. And if you are of any age of maturity, even if you haven't reached such an age, there's probably something, some event, some relationship in your life that has transpired in your life that's caused you to think about your perception and your understanding of what love is. And so that herein lies really a great problem of ours, because every one of us has, or at least in our upbringing, until we were taught and we began to understand by whatever means what love really is and how love really works, there's a perception that each of us have in our minds concerning what love is. And that wouldn't be so bad, just simply having a perception of what you perceive and what you think love to be. But the problem is that every one of us, we want to be loved according to our own perception of what love is, which means I expect you to love me according to my definition and what I perceive love to be. Now, the only way that's not going to present a problem is going to be if we share the same understanding, the same definition, the same perspective of what love is and what love means. We face this problem because in this world today, love is presented, and throughout history, it's not just a contemporary issue, but throughout time. And because of the evolution of that terminology, and I think this is one of the reasons that God allowed the New Testament to be penned during the time of the Roman Empire and the time that the Greek language was prominent in the earth, because the Greek language and the Greek text actually it has specific words for not just any and every type of love or aspect or perspective of love, but there's agape, that is that what we call that unconditional love, the love of God. There is the phileo or philos, one of the transitional ways that we communicate that, which is brotherly love, familiar love, family love. There's the eros, which is the exotic, the sexual, the physical type of love. And so it becomes very specific in describing and in defining by the nature of the terminology that's used. But for us today, when somebody says love, you don't really know what they mean. When they say I love you, then you have to kind of guess and kind of take in the full context where they're coming from, largely because our society associates, and throughout history has associated, the concept of love with how I feel about you, how you make me feel. If you make me, you know, things tingle in my extremities, then that tells me that I love you. If you make me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside, then that's how I know that I love you, because you look good to me, because you treat me right, because you talk to me the right way. That is how I define love. And the problem is, because every one of us have different needs and different perspectives in terms of what makes us feel good today versus what makes us feel good on tomorrow, what sounds right to us today versus what sounds right to us tomorrow. So we have a love that's trying to hit a moving target, and so therefore we need something that will stabilize us, that will bring us into focus, that will become a standard against what we can measure what true love really is and what it is not. And so the answer is not difficult to find. As a matter of fact, it's right here in the text, is shown throughout the biblical record, but this is a good place, amen, to illustrate it, because here's our proposition, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that God is love, and because God is love, and he is the only thing that we know is unchanging, he's the only thing that we can rest assured that if we focus on him, he won't change tomorrow. That every time God personifies and his actions demonstrate what love is, there's going to be consistency. And because God is love, then he is the model of true love. You see, Walt Disney told you that true love comes in this magical interaction, you know, true love's kiss, or or something to that effect. But it's all, that's all related to circumstantial and situational events and happening. But God's love is stable, and He is the model for what true love really is all about. And so that's why Hosea, even in the beginning of this particular record in Hosea 1, it gives us a lot of a great introduction and opening and an illustration of how love, true love, real love, how it rises above broken relationship. It rises above, as a matter of fact, it thrives in broken relationship. It thrives in people that are hard to deal with. It thrives and it manifests itself in situations where you really want to hate somebody, but when it's true love, now we're talking about agape. If it's the love of God, it transcends the circumstance because it realizes, true love realizes that it's needed more when you don't want to love, when you don't feel good, when you want to hate, when you feel frustrated by the person, when you want to walk out and leave them, when you never want to talk to them again. That's when real love prevails and say, I got a job to do. As a matter of fact, that's the only time you really know whether or not true love is there, is in those situations where you want to knock somebody out, you want to cut them, you want to cuss them out, you want to walk away from them. That's when you know how true and how strong your love is. But here's the thing about love, it's about connections. It's about first a vertical connection and then a horizontal connection. The Bible says that we love God because He first loved us. Because God loved me, He showed me how to love, and therefore now I know, because He demonstrated to me what love is and how love works, now I can love Him in the same way, and I can love my brothers and sisters. Love is vertical and horizontal, but love is about connections, about vertical connection, and it's about horizontal connection. And a connection places into relationship two or more entities that would otherwise exist and operate independently. I want you to understand this. Connections bring people together in relationship that if the connection was not there, if the connection did not exist, then we would go about our separate ways and there would be nothing to bring us together, to tie us together. That's why families have connections of blood, and families have connections of marriage that brings about children, that brings about more offspring that are tied together in your family tree. A connection creates the means by which a continuous transfer of flow can be made from one entity to another. You see, connections are important because not only do they keep us together, but connections help to move things from one of us to another. When we're connected, there are things that we can transmit to each other in a way that you can't transmit to people who are not connected. Can I help somebody out? We talked about last night in our marriage ministry meeting the importance of communication. That's always going to come up, no matter what your individual issue is, no matter whether it has to do with marital relations, whether it has to do with finances, whether it has to do with raising the children, whether it has to do with leaving the top off the toothpaste or squeezing it from the middle or how you turn the toilet paper, there's always going to be a level that really mitigates and that really is essential to what happens and the outcome, and that's communication. You know why? Because communication is a bond, it's a connector that allows what's in my mind and what's in me to flow out of me into my wife, into the people that I'm preaching to, the people that I'm teaching, whatever the connection may be. There's a communication connector that allows me to take what's in me and to transfer it into somebody else. It flows. But the problem is sometimes there's, you know, when you have a pipe that moves water from one place to another, if there's a crack in the pipe, or if there is something in the pipe that's clogging it up, you know, you got hair in the drain, or there's something, there's rust building up in those old galvanized pipes, then it's going to impede, it's going to stop and slow down the flow of the water from one place to another. And even though we might be connected, and most of us have experienced this, even though we might be connected, because we can't, that flow does not happen the way that it's supposed to be. It doesn't, what leaves me in the way that it leaves me in my mind, it don't always arrive at Sister Ford the way I intended it to arrive. It doesn't always arrive whole and intact in the same way that it went out. And sometimes when she's transmitting and communicating to me, I don't always get what she's trying to say. As a matter of fact, she was trying to tell me something early. That's why I said, you just tell them what you got to say, because there is a problem with the communication. I can't get it from right here. There's a breach. There's congestion. There's a conflict in the connector for me to get what you're trying to give me in the way that you're trying to give it to me. So roads and highways, they connect homes and businesses and cities and states, and even countries, allowing the transfer and the flow of goods and the flow of people. Power lines create connections, allowing the transfer of electricity. Water pipes create connections, allowing the inflow of clean water. And sewer pipes create connections that allow the outflow of unclean water. Telephone lines, cell phone ties, coaxial and fiber optic cables, satellite dishes, all create connections that allow the exchange of audio and visual and binary data communication. And these connections make it possible for private and independent individual, what we call intranetworks, of computers to be connected into one collective internet network, that's what we call the internet, right? Of computers, providing a platform for what we know as the World Wide Web, which allows us to connect with each other through platforms such as email and instant messaging and text messaging and video conferencing and social media applications such as Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. But just remember, brothers and sisters, not everything that flows through a connection to you is good for you. That's why some of you had to unfriend some folk on Facebook or even cancel your account altogether, because not everything that flows is always healthy and good for you. And sometimes the water supply becomes contaminated, or there's static on the telephone line, or you get junk email coming into your mailbox, whether it is your snail mailbox or your email box. And that's why every now and then we need a secure line. Every now and then we need a secure connection that will block or filter the mess that's trying to flow in and out of our lives, and that will permit those things that are healthy for us to flow through. And what we need, brothers and sisters, is a love connection. A real love connection. And so, brothers and sisters, beloved, this text gives us, these first four verses actually gives us four principles and four essential truths that will help us no matter what love relationships we are trying to manage in our lives, whether it's with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our enemies, with our co-workers, with our fellow church members, with our pastors and our ministers. No matter what the case may be, there is a standard that God has established. He says in verse number 1, he says, when Israel was a child, he says, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Because he's trying to let Hosea know and communicate to the children of Israel, no matter what you did, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, I've always loved you. And there's always been a love connection that could not be broken. So in this first verse, He shows us that true love maintains a righteous relationship. True love maintains a righteous relationship. Now, this is one thing that you got to understand about this, brothers and sisters. The only way that anything that we deal with, anything that we put our hands on, can be righteous is that God is in the center of it. The only thing that can make anything and declare anything righteous is that God is the focal point, that he is, his will, his plan, and his purpose is in the center of it. Every relationship we have, whether it's in marriage, if God is not at the center, then it's not a righteous relationship. With fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and fathers and daughters and mothers and sons, with friends and family, with co-workers, with even with our enemies and those that seem to try to do harm against us. I'm telling you right now, in every relationship, the only thing that's going to really make it right is if God is in the center of it. Do you understand that even with people that hate on you, that people that's trying to see you downfall, people that out to get you, people that want to stab you in your back, that talk about you and lie about you, that when you put God in the center of that relationship, watch this, you get to see things about that person that you couldn't see otherwise, because your anger was too clouding your judgment, your frustration made it so you couldn't see straight, your craziness and your sadness, your depression, your animosity, your hatred, it blacked up and it clouded up all the things that God wanted you to see. But when God is in the middle of that relationship, he shows you that this person is hurting more than you are, that this person is going through something that he needs you, she needs you to pray for him, not cuss him out. He needs you, she needs you to hold your head. She may need you just to listen to her. She may need you just to stand there and to be with her, to be with him. But he said, when God is in the middle of it, it becomes more than just a relationship. It's a righteous relationship. God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called, and out of Egypt I called my son. The point of the matter here is, he said, Israel was a child, but when we talk about a child, now think about it. He says, when Israel was a child could be anybody's child. But he said, because I loved them, there was a relationship. And this relationship was so strong, was so intense, was so intimate, that this ain't just any child. This is my son. This is my child. See, there's a difference between what I'll do for a child and what I'll do for my child. Can I help somebody out? That's what love is all about. I need you to understand that love, watch this, love is not a static thing. Love is dynamic. Love changes from situation to situation and from person to person, and it has degrees. That's why the Bible declares that we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. Because love is an entity, is a concept that's of degrees, that says in every situation you could have love for everybody involved, but I guarantee you in that moment somebody is going to get the priority of your love, and you're going to have to make a sacrifice of somebody else. Think about it. I just said, if anybody's child, I might be willing to do something for it, but when it's my child, now, in most cases, my child is going to get the priority. But there are some situations, because it's a righteous relationship, that we may have to do like God did, that like he led a man Abraham to do with Isaac, that we may have to sacrifice, even though we love what's closest to us, that we may have to sacrifice our own child for the sake of somebody else's child. I know that might be hard to understand, that may be hard to digest and hard to really come to grips with, but think about
John 3:16, the Bible says that we were just some children that were out there, but God loved us so much that he gave his own child, his only begotten son, because he knew that my child, look, I know that I got to sacrifice you right now, but in the long run, my child is going to be all right, and the other children, my adopted children are going to be all right. Sometimes we've got to set the priority of love in ways that we never thought we would. Because true love is about righteous relationship. And righteous relationship means that in every scenario, in every situation, you've got to make a decision about what you love the most. You know where, and that's always true. I believe in the true sense of the word love, that's always 100% of the time true. But you know where we get caught up, even in our perverted and our screwed up and messed up perspectives on love, that concept is still there. Let me tell you why. Because when we become selfish, all we're doing is saying that I love me more than I love anything else. I love what I want. I love my appetite. I love my desire. I love my obsession. I love my lust. I love what I'm attracted to more than I love anything else. If there's ever been a man or a woman that's been in a marriage, and you've gone outside of that marriage for marital intimacy, it's because not because somebody drew you out, not because it may be connected and related to the turmoil and whatever's going on within that relationship, but ultimately it's because you love what you want and you love your desire, even if it's the fact that I just don't want to be unhappy, I don't want to be sad, I don't need to deal with it, I'm better than no. You so focus on how you feel and what you want that you set aside, watch this, what God said is right, what God said is righteous, no matter how low you may feel, no matter how neglected you may feel, no matter how bad you want to break free, you got to put what you love and what God loves, and you got to put that on the scale, and God has to win every single time, because if he wins, he's going to take care of everything else. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. And part of that will be, and I can tell you right now, not every marriage that goes through struggles where there is one of the spouses that's committed to the righteousness of God, it don't always mean that there's reconciliation. But because you were faithful to God, he may give you an exit, because he won't let his child just stay in a place where they'll just be continually be pressed down and beat up on and torn down. But you got to let God handle it. You can't handle it yourself. And so, brothers and sisters, says when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son, because I loved him. That means my plan and my purpose, it superseded where my son, my child, was being held captive. So I called him out of Egypt. But then, not only does true love maintain righteous relationship. But true love models mercy. Verse number 2 says, watch this. The more they were called, God says, Israel, when he was a child, I called my son out of Egypt. But watch this. The more I called him, and understand this. I gotta give this to you. When he says I called, it's just think about, you know, when mama, and I'm talking about even Mother Runette Ford, if she was standing on the porch of 940 Southwest Second Terrace and we down the street playing or whatever, and she called out to us, and you call our names, or we across the street at Atlas and Joe playing with them or whatever. See, the call is a beckon to come from where you are to where the one is calling you to. God says, I call them out of Egypt, meaning I was here outside of Egypt. They were in Egypt, and I called them, meaning I gave them everything they needed to move themselves from the bondage of Egypt to where I am in their freedom, their liberty. But he says the more they were called, the more they went away. The more, because I wasn't simply, watch this, I wasn't simply calling them out of the oppression and the captivity of Egypt. I was calling them into right relationship, into worship, into a worshipful relationship with me. I didn't call you out of being under the oppressive hand of Pharaoh and Egypt just so that you can go and do your own thing. I called you out because I've got something for you to do. Have I got a witness in here? Mama didn't call us from the street just so that we could go come in and start playing some other game. She called us in because it was time to eat, get to the dinner table. I called you in because it's time for you to take a bath, go get in the tub. I called you in because it's time for you to go to bed, get everything ready, brush your teeth and go on to bed. God called Israel out of Egypt not so they could go and do what they wanted to do, but so they could come and serve him without any restriction, without any bondage, without any chains holding them back. And that's what God does for us. That's why I'm not a preacher that pumps and prides. I ain't gonna beg you to praise God. I'm not. But you know why? Because praise is about you communicating to other folk what God has done for you. I'm not gonna tell you how to do that. But what I want to do is to liberate you. I want you to be free to know that you ain't gotta worry about nobody else looking at you crazy because you don't praise God the way that they pray, because you don't run across the pews, because you don't run around the sanctuary, because you don't jump up and down. Look, whatever you do, as long as you being true to your praise, as long as you being real about what God has done for you, I just want to free you so that God can use you. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you to do what I do, because guess what? Not everybody that makes them noises, not everybody that does that running around, not everybody that's jumping up and down is on their way to heaven. So you got to do what God, because number one, he wants you to be you. He don't want you to be anybody else. He wants you to be you. It says, the more they were called, the more they went away. And they kept sacrificing to Baals and offering, burning offerings to idols, because God is the one that delivered them. But they kept on giving their worship and their service, and they were bowing down and submitting their wills to false and fake gods, when the true God of heaven was the one who loved them and the one who called them out. But watch, he said, the more they were called, the more they went away. That means God didn't just, you do see this, right? That means that God didn't just call them one time and then they began to stray and he stopped calling them. That's why he modeled mercy. You got to understand, he kept on calling them. They went astray and he kept on calling them. They kept on about every 40 years or so, that God would give them judges, and then they get right, but then the judge would die, and then they go astray again, and then God would whoop up on them, and then they come back in line. God would call a judge to bring them back in line. Then they go through the cycle over and over, and the more he called, the more they turned away, but he kept on calling. Is there anybody here that knows what that's about? Because God kept on calling me and I kept on going away, but he kept on calling me. He kept on stretching his arms out in love to me so that I could come to him. But not only does true love model mercy as shown in the text, but if we are going to mimic and be like God in our love, if we're going to possess and show true love, we got to understand that we've got to model mercy the same way God modeled mercy toward us. That means there's some folk that they're going to keep trying you and trying you and trying you. It seems like their aim in life is to make you mad, is to frustrate you, is to trip you up. But mercy says, look, first of all, I can't give you what you deserve. Even if I did my worst, I can't give you what you deserve, because only God can really give you what you deserve. But guess what? Just like you haven't gotten what you deserve, I haven't gotten what I deserve. And because God loved me enough to extend his grace and his mercy to give me a little bit more time. Is there anybody here that's grown up a little bit, that you got a little wiser, that you got a little smarter, and the dumb, stupid stuff that you did when you was younger, you realize that what was I thinking then? Can you imagine if God in that moment said, I'm not giving you another opportunity, I'm not giving you my grace, I'm not giving you my mercy, but I'm cutting you down right now because you stupid, because you made bad decisions, because you walked away from me? No, God said, I know what's in you. I know that if I give you time, you will see the light. I'm here to let you know that you got brothers and sisters that just need a little bit of time. They need to see you walking right. They need to see you talking right. They need to see you living right. And you'll see that a change will come in their life because you modeled mercy just like God. In verse number 3, it says, yet it was God who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. Because, you know, the kingdom, when they were in captivity, was divided, and yet the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so he addresses every aspect of the kingdom of Israel. And he says, yeah, Israel, when I brought them out of Egypt, they kept going astray, no matter the collective, the entire group of the children of Israel, they kept going astray, no matter what generation it was, no matter what period of time, no matter what era, they kept going away. But I kept calling them, and yet it was God who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. That lets us know there was something that the children of Israel, that Ephraim, that the saints of God, the people of God needed in their journey as God led them, as God continued to lead them, and they were not even aware of what God had done. So that's what grace is all about. He says, I taught Ephraim to walk. I taught Ephraim to walk because I held them up by their arms, because if I did not, they would keep on falling. But I'm the one that taught them to walk. I held them up, and I'm the one that healed them. But he says, the thing about it is, they didn't even know. They didn't recognize that it was me there all the time. I was the one there. I was the one there holding them up, saying, lonely baby, come on now. And when they began to wiggle and about to fall, I was the one that reached out and grabbed their hand and kept them upright. God says, listen, the reason I did that is because I knew what they would become. I knew what Israel would become for me. True love perceives potential. In other words, you can see what a person is going to be even before they become that, because that's what God did with you and me. That's what true love is all about. True love won't give up because I know you can be better than this. I know you can be greater than this. I know that God, you know why I know? Not simply because I'm prophetic and because I could see something that other folk can't see, but I know that God would not have you here if he didn't have great things for you. I know that God would not have created you if he didn't have a plan and a purpose for your life. And all I got to be able to see is the hand of God. And if I can see the hand of God, then I can see the potential on your life. So God says, even though I didn't get any praise, I didn't get any dap, I didn't get a shout out, I didn't get any adoration, they didn't know it was me. Have you ever been in a situation where you love somebody, that you helped them, and they didn't even know that you helped them? That's true love. True love said, I'm doing this not so I can tell you about it, so that you can give me a pat on the back and you can lift me up and you can give me all these accolades, but I'm doing it because you need it, and because I know that if I help you, that's going to get you to the next step of where you need to be. True love perceives potential. But here's the thing about it, brothers and sisters. In verse number 4, as I hasten to take my seat, not only does true love maintain righteous relationship, not only does true love true love model mercy, and not only does true love perceive potential,
But verse 4 says, I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and I fed them. God says, no matter what they did, no matter where they went, no matter what they said, no matter who they were with, I stayed. I kept on taking care of them. I kept on feeding them. I kept on leading them. I kept on easing their pain. I kept on making a way for them out of no way. I kept on lifting them up. Here's the reason, because true love endures endlessly. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, love never ends. Do y'all understand the meaning and the ramifications of love that never ends? See, that's the problem that we have in our culture, in our society, that we fall in and out of love. That's why you can't tell me, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. You could go wherever you want to go with that in love stuff. If you don't love me, then that means that you're not going to be there for me. I know in love means that you don't feel the same way about me that you did before. You can keep that. I don't care about the way you feel about me, but if you love me, then that means no matter what happens, you're going to be there. Love does not fail. Love does not leave. Love does not run. You know why? Because love is not based on you. It's not based on what you did. It's not based on what you're doing. It's not based on what you used to do. It's not based on what you say. It's not based on how you say it. But true love is based on God's commandment for me not to leave you there when I see I can help you, for me not to let go of your hand when God has placed your hand in my hand. God says true love endures endlessly. He says, I led them with cords of kindness. I led them with bands of love. They could not be broken because God's love does not end. He says, because I kept on staying connected in love, I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. They weren't free from their situation, but the fact that I was there made it so that they could endure the hardship and it eased the pressure of the yoke of their situation. They weren't always able to feed themselves, but because of a love connection, he says, I bent down and I fed them because they couldn't get to the food, so I brought the food to them. Have I got a witness in here? The only way we can do what Jesus told us to do, if he told us to love those that hate us, to love our enemies, to love those that despitefully use us, to love those that talk about us behind our backs. The only way that I can love somebody when I know that all this is going on is if I'm not focused on what they did. I'm not focused on what they do. I'm not focused on how they make me feel, but I'm focused on the righteousness of God. The priority moves to what God has said. Have I got a witness in here? Well, now here's the question for you. Here's the question that I need you to answer. Are you loving others? Are you loving your brothers and your sisters? Are you loving your friends and your enemies? Are you loving your co-workers and your colleagues the same way that God has loved you? If you think about how good God has been to me, am I treating my brothers and my sisters? Am I treating my friends and my enemies? Am I treating those who like me and those who don't like me the way that God treated me? Am I loving them the way that God loved me? Well, can I help somebody out? If you can't remember, if you don't know just how much God loved you, John 3:16 says that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. God loved you so much that he gave his son, and his son gave his life. He came down through 40 and two generations. That's how much God loved you, that he sent his son
to die on a cross. Is there anybody here that can see in your sanctified mind? I told you that love connection is about vertical and horizontal. They lifted my Jesus up on that cross. He was connected with God the Father, but he didn't stay in that position. He stretched out his arms because he's connected to you and to me. Have I got a witness in here? He died. Is there anybody here that knows that he died? He died. Oh, yeah. He died. He died for you and for me. That's how much he loved us. Is there anybody here that think you would do what Jesus did? How many of us would lay down our own lives, not for a loved one, not for a friend, but for a low down, dirty, no good, good for nothing joker like you and I was when God sent Jesus to die for us? He died on that old rugged cross. They took him down and placed him in a borrowed tomb. But after 3 nights and 3 days, he loved us so much that he didn't leave us alone. He got up with all power, trusted in his hands, and he's coming back for you and for me because he loves us. Is there anybody here with the love connection with your brothers and your sisters the way that God loves you? If you have that kind of love, say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, say yeah. 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 A love connection.